At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We made it! Long off season, Sterling. We did weekly shows almost the entire time, waiting, hoping, praying for this day to come. I guess for tomorrow to come, because we still technically have one more sleep. But the NFL season's back. What a dude. Moment.
Dude.
I can't wait. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
The boys are back. I am so excited. I can hardly think. Yep. This is what I've been waiting for. This right here. This is Christmas Eve, baby. This is, you have all the presents. They're under the Christmas tree. One more sleep. You wake up and oh my goodness, it's glorious. But no, there won't be snow outside. That's falling from the sky is Mahomes passes as you see Xavier Worthy waltzing into the end zone. That what you see outside is Derrick Henry breaking tackles and rumbling, bumbling, stumbling his way into the end zone as Lamar Jackson is he not going to hand the ball off? Is it
Andy Reid coming down the chimney?
It's Andy Reid coming down the chimney.
It's here. And not only do we have Chiefs-Ravens tomorrow night, a rematch of the AFC Championship, which is an unbelievable opening night game. But then Friday night, we got Eagles-Packers. We don't even have to wait longer than, you know, one day to get a second game. And then, of course, Saturday, there's college football. And then NFL. I love NFL opening night. I'm pumped for tomorrow. I'm pumped for Friday. But to me, I think the time I get excited the most is when I see that beautiful man, Scott Hansen, on the screen. And I see the countdown to Red Zone on Sunday. And I see the Octobox of all 8 games going on at the same time. That, to me, is peak. Week 1 Octobox on Red Zone, I think, might be the happiest I am all year.
Yeah, it's like March Madness. It's basically what it is. It's March Madness. Dude, there are so many great storylines. The NFC feels almost, I don't want to say wide open, but there are a lot of teams who I think were bad last year who have a legit chance to make the playoffs and go far. And one of those teams are legitimately your Atlanta Falcons, right? Like, I think that at some point, they're not even getting enough love right now, the Falcons are. But, like, there are so many teams right now that were bad, so many fan bases that all they could wait for was the offseason. And some of those teams I thought made some great moves, yet here we are. 0-0. Every team. Chiefs fans, hey, I'm a Chiefs guy. They're back-to-back Super Bowl champions. You got to prove it again. Can't rest on your laurels. This is a new year.
Yeah, and before we dive into the show for today, just a reminder everyone to subscribe, because we are going to be going live twice a week throughout the NFL season. Monday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, we're going to be going live to recap Sunday's action and then preview Monday Night Football. And then Wednesdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, this time we'll be going live each week to then preview the coming weekend's games. So subscribe to the channel, put that notification bell on, subscribe to the audio version of this podcast. Today's episode, we are going to be going game by game. We're going to give our thoughts on all 16 games for NFL Week 1. Maybe not a ton of thoughts on Monday Night Football, since we can talk about that a little bit more Monday morning. And then we are going to finish the show with our best bets. This show is not going to be all betting focused, but we will finish off with some picks for those of you who like to dabble in the gambling world. We're going to give out our best spread bet, best upset pick, best totals pick. And then Sterling and I will once again for the second straight year be going head-to-head in a one-on-one Survivor pool. And if you don't know what Survivor is, you just pick a team that to win that week. It's that easy. If they win, you move on to the next week. You can only pick each team once. Last year, Sterling beat me, made it all the way to what week was it? Like 13?
Can you just go back at 14? Can you say that first part again?
Sterling won last year.
Yeah, he did.
And then the loser has to get a present for the winner, depending on how far the winner goes. Last year, I got you what? Customized Titleist Pro V1s and a Titleist, I call it a toque. I guess you would call it a beanie.
A beanie, yeah. I rocked that come wintertime. I did last year when it was a little chilly. I was playing, I think, in February, maybe. It got here pretty quick. Maybe it was March still. I already rocked that hat once. Those balls, I still kept a few of them. They're only for when I know I can't lose one.
Yeah. All right. So this is going to be week one of that. So let's start off with just going through chronological for the most part. Our thoughts on each game. Obviously, I guess it probably is the biggest game of the week. It is your Chiefs hosting the Baltimore Ravens, starting off their bid to be the first team to win three straight Super Bowls. They are the back-to-back defending champs. It is a rematch of last year's AFC Championship. I'm sure you could talk about this game, and you probably have talked about this game already for a countless amount of time, but generally, what are your thoughts about this game? What are you looking for the most in this game?
Great question. What I'm looking forward to most is, what do the Chiefs look like in the secondary with a lot of concern? A lot of the same faces, just the absence of L'Jarius Sneed. But the way that the Chiefs team and coaching staff has talked about the cornerbacks has not made me feel very comfortable. Like, I don't know if it's a huge regression. I don't know if those guys were great as CB3s. Now they have to step into the CB2 role, and there's a lot of concern. But for a team that has consistently developed identified talent in the secondary, they've talked about this cornerback room with a lot of alarm. Now, Lamar Jackson is a good throwing quarterback, but that's not his strong suit, right? Maybe next week with Joe Burrow, that might be more of a concern. But I'm sitting here going, who is going to step up? There's been a lot of injury with the Chiefs defense throughout OTAs, training camp, and then into the preseason. How do they look with really trying to knock the rust off as well against, in my opinion, one of, if not the best team in the AFC? I know the Ravens lost a lot of pieces. I know a lot of the coaching staff is now gone, right? They now have three new starters on the offensive line, the Ravens do. Ronnie Stanley is back. Tyler Lindenbaum is a great center. But the Ravens are kind of like the Chiefs in their front office. Their coaching staff, they always seem to get the best out of guys, right? I think this is going to be a very close game. I quite frankly think it's going to be a higher scoring game. I think the Chiefs offense is really going to take a massive step forward this year. I think the Chiefs defense takes a slight step back. And I think early on, you're going to see the Chiefs defense struggle. Doesn't mean they're bad. Doesn't mean they won't figure it out. But I think early on, the Chiefs defense does take a step back trying to knock that rust off. But I think the offense looks good early for KC, even without Hollywood Brown, who is going to miss this game, officially listed as out.
The thing I'm looking forward to in this game to see is if the Ravens can right their wrong from the AFC Championship. And I don't necessarily mean winning the game, but they got to run the football. People forget that was kind of the storyline at the end of that game. The Ravens had the best rushing attack in the NFL. If there was one weakness of the Chiefs defense, they had struggled at times in stopping the run. Everyone thought the Ravens were going to come out and just run the ball every play. They did the complete opposite. They hardly ever ran the ball in the AFC Championship. Now they have Derrick Henry, one of the best running backs of this generation. Obviously, he's, you know, not quite in his prime now, but you have an extremely good running back. You have Lamar Jackson. Are they going to now right their wrong from the AFC Championship and come out and run the football? Because that, to me, in my opinion, is their chance to win.
Can I give you a little pushback? Please. Because I don't necessarily disagree, right? I actually don't disagree with that premise, this matchup. The reason why they stopped in the playoffs was because they couldn't. They couldn't run. Steve Spagnuolo, traditionally, he has a very schematic style of defense. Traditionally, during the regular season, it's okay, we're going to stop the pass. We're not going to give it big plays. We might not force many turnovers, but you're going to have to march down the field and beat us. If we get you behind the sticks, you're screwed. The Chiefs had 57 sacks last year, 55 the year prior. they don't care if you get 4 or 5 yards, because that is that one time on first and 10, you get stopped for a negative one or for just a 1 yard gain. Now you're behind the sticks. Now you have to pass. And now he can become the genius that is Steve Spagnuolo. The Ravens couldn't run the football in the playoffs because the Chiefs took that away from them. They passed the ball actually fairly effectively through the air. If you remember that game, look at the yardage. Look at Lamar in the second half passing the ball. He was fairly good. The reason being, though, the Chiefs tried to stop the run, and they did. And then when it came down to it, Lamar, in clutch situations, didn't make the plays that he needed to make. So, in this game, it's different. You have Derrick Henry. He's better, even at his age, than Gus Edwards. But I think that last playoff was a different game plan from the Baltimore offense because the Chiefs took it away from them.
I'm going to push back on your pushback. I think that's quite simply just not true. Running backs touched the ball and on a carry 6 times in the game. 6 times a running back carried the ball. The Ravens didn't even try. And they did average 5.1 yards per carry. Now, that might be a little bit skewed because there was a long Lamar Jackson run.
Yeah, come on now. Think of the actual
One of the 6 runs by the Ravens was a Gus Edwards 15-yard run. So you can't tell me the Chiefs stopped the run. They only ran it to running back 6 times.
And what were the other 5 runs for? Yarder. What were the other 5 runs for?
Oh, not as long as 15 yards, but still, you can't say they stopped the Ravens' run. They only ran it to running back 6 times in the entire game. They threw the ball 37 times. They ran it 16.
They stacked the box.
Well, I disagree. And if they stack the box, still try to run it. Don't care. Passing it didn't work either. 7.4 yards per throw. 20 for 37. 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
What I do think is this is a very difficult game for both sides. Week 1, a lot of trying to knock the rust off, a lot of new faces, new pieces. I will also say, if the Ravens win or the Chiefs win, it might have some playoff implications because I think it's these two teams as well as the Texans who are really fighting for that one spot, that one seed. But also, your season's not over. If the Chiefs lose, they lost last year Week 1. Now, no Chris Jones, no Travis Kelce. Kadarius Toney legitimately gave the ball to a Detroit Lions player. That was hilarious. It was like a 4-year-old playing basketball and like shot in the wrong hoop. It was really, it was not funny at the time, but it's funny now. That's what I think is, if you're a fan of either of these two teams, don't panic if your team loses. This is a great start to the NFL season. Goodell, the NFL scheduling committee, they got this right.
Yeah. Let's move on to Friday's game in Brazil, which it looks like no player is excited to play in Brazil. I think they have some wildfires going on down there too, so I have no idea. Twitter is banned. Reporters aren't going to be able to tweet while they're there. Once again, this is kind of looking like a disaster. Looks like it's still going to go through on Friday night. At the end of the day, football looks like it will be played. Eagles and Packers complete opposite seasons last year. The Packers started off slow, got hot in the second half of the season, upset the Cowboys in the wild card round. And the Eagles were the best team in the NFL through the first 10, 11 weeks and then had an all-time implosion and then lost to the Buccaneers, the 9-8 Buccaneers in the wild card round. Trevor asking if I think the Bucs will win the NFC South again. I assume that's you're baiting me with that question. So, no, the Bucs are not going to win the NFC South. Obviously not. The Falcons are going to run away with it. But speaking of the Bucs in the NFC South, the Eagles lost to them in the first round of the playoffs last year. So two teams with completely opposite seasons will now meet in Week 1 on a neutral field. What do you think about this one, Sterling?
I think it's dumb. First off, where it's being played at. How I said they got Week 1 right. The NFL got Game 2, I should say, wrong in this instance. Mm-hmm. The players hate it. They don't want to go. They don't want to be there. You're going to a place with wildfires. You're going to a place with some like unrest going on right now. You can't be on X. You can't do all the... Like, why? Why? What's the point of this? You're trying to grow the game. You're making enough money as is up here. If you're going to grow the game, grow it in a place where you can actually go and have the media be on X and actually try and promote said game. This is a bad, bad look, in my opinion. Moving on. I think the Packers are being crowned a little too early. Mm-hmm. I think they're being crowned as the next best in the NFC a little too soon. I like Jordan Love. I like the team as a whole for the most part, but it feels like a lot of people are acting like they're almost an elite team and they're guaranteed to take a step forward when I thought Jordan Love had some inconsistencies last year. I think the playoffs were great, but I wanted to see a larger sample size. right? He was very inconsistent at times last year. The Packers wide receivers are good, not great. They have about four guys who are really solid, but they don't really have that game changer, in my opinion. Their defense at times, I think, also goes into the inconsistent category. I think people are jumping onto the Packers bandwagon too fast while throwing away almost the Eagles' past multiple seasons of success, how they've been building, and they took a hard look at their weaknesses last year, aka the secondary, and put a whole bunch of early draft capital into it. The guy, the cornerback from Toledo, Cooper DeJean, CJ Gardner-Johnson is now back. I think the Eagles are one of the best teams in the NFC, while I still have a lot of questions with the Packers, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about the Packers. I think a lot of people make the same potential issue where not only do we judge a team based on what they did last season, but we're specifically judging some teams based on what they did in like their last two or three games of last season. So because the Packers ended hot in their last couple games and then upset the Cowboys in the wild card round, all of a sudden we're crowning them as like big time NFC contenders. Now, maybe they are, but also I do think you're putting a little bit too much value in those last couple of games from the previous season. Opposite true for the Eagles, because they kind of imploded down the stretch. Oh, now all of a sudden they're not that good of a football team. For both situations, I think the answer is a little bit closer to the middle. Eagles also got new coordinators, which is big. Not only did they improve the secondary, they got Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator, and Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. So that should help the Eagles out quite a bit. So I think this is an interesting matchup to kind of for both teams to show, are they the same versions of the teams that we saw at the end of the last season, or can we expect something a little bit different from this year?
Yeah. I'm glad we agree. Like, this is weird.
We do occasionally. We like to agree.
What do we do? Do we shake hands? Do we?
Hopefully we can agree at least out of these 16 games, we can agree on a couple of them.
Okay, we agree there. I will also say, being in Brazil, I don't take a lot away from this game of who wins or loses. I really don't. I think it's just so unique. Both teams have to go through this and fight through this and have a unique experience, if you will, as far as pregame, getting ready for the game, how you actually get down there, what the field's going to look like. There's all these, you know what I'm saying, just in general. I don't take a lot from this game. I would not touch this game betting-wise, personally. I'll say that.
All right, moving on to Sunday slate. We'll start with the Cardinals and the Bills. Bills almost touchdown favorites against the Cardinals here, Sterling, but I actually think this might be another one that we agree on, because I think both of us have said at several different points throughout the offseason that we actually kind of think the Cardinals may not be a good team, but better than people expect. Because if you look at the odds and some futures, the market kind of expects the Cardinals to be like a bottom 6-7 team again this NFL season. I think both of us think they might be a little bit better and could even surprise some people in week one against the Bills.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if the Cardinals won this game. I think the Bills are... I've gone back and forth with the Bills all offseason long just because I love Josh Allen. I think McDermott, for all of some of his weirdness, is a at least decent head coach. But I'm high on the Cardinals to be an upset team week in, week out. Like, I think they could put up points with the best of them. I think people forget how good and electric Kyler Murray is when healthy. Whatever your thoughts on him playing video games, at least when he's out there playing football, dude is enjoyable to watch. I want to see what Marvin Harrison Jr. does. I don't know how good he's going to be. Feels like everyone's already crowning him as a wide receiver one, already as an elite wide receiver. I kind of want to see it first. But Trey McBride, I think, is a really good tight end. Defensively, they're going to struggle. I feel like the over is going to hit in a lot of Cardinals games, but this is going to be a fun game to watch. I'm not going to try and bet on this one either personally, Ian. I'm not trying to take the easy way out here, but if you told me the Cardinals upset the Bills, I wouldn't be surprised. If you said the Bills won by two touchdowns, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of invested in the Cardinals in terms of some fantasy football, some Cardinals offensive players. So I hope that their offensive is at least good.
But I'm all in on Kyler and Trey McBride, by the way. I've already invested heavily in those two guys.
Yeah, I got a lot of James Conner stock too.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, moving on to the Patriots and the Bengals. It is the biggest spread of the year, but the number has actually come down. It was 9.5 in favor of the Bengals last week. It's now down to 7.5, still over a touchdown, though. So at least the odds indicate this is the most lopsided game of week one. Patriots, a lot of people think the Patriots will be the worst team in the NFL this season. The story, obviously, surrounding the Bengals is Joe Burrow healthy? Is Ja'Marr Chase even going to play this week? We don't know with his whole contract issue. Is this going to be as big of a blowout as maybe the odds indicate, Sterling?
Yes. Ooh, I think it is. Jacoby Brissett starting at quarterback for the Patriots. I think the Patriots, he's not horrible, but like, I think the Patriots are one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the NFL this year. Bengals with all the unrest. Ja'Marr did show up to practice today in pads. He was out there. Good news for fantasy football owners of Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins, obviously still there. I have a lot of concerns with Joe Burrow. I have concerns with his team long term. I have concerns with what's going to happen next year, how long their window is actually open for. But they'll beat the Patriots, man. I think the Patriots are going to struggle to win three games this year. I'll take the Bengals week one, even with the offseason issues surrounding Trey Hendricks and T. Higgins, Joe Burrow's injury, and Ja'Marr. They're too talented to lose this one.
Yeah. Week one is crazy. Weird things happen. Even good teams don't, like, you know, some weird things happen in week one as you kind of get into the flow of the season. A point spread of over a touchdown to me is scary. If you were to actually bet on this game and lay over a touchdown on one team, it certainly can happen. They can cover, but I got questions about the Bengals. They kind of have a history of starting slow in the Joe Burrow era.
True.
All right, moving on to Jaguars and Dolphins, a battle of Florida to start the season off here. The Jaguars, much kind of like we were just talking about the Eagles, the Jaguars also imploded down the stretch after having the AFC South in their grasp. Even in the last week of the season, all they had to do was beat the Tennessee Titans to clinch the AFC South. They could not do that. Lost out on getting into the playoffs whatsoever. Missed the playoffs. Meanwhile, the Dolphins also kind of imploded down the stretch. They did end up making the playoffs, though, regardless. They lost the AFC East, though, made the playoffs, and then had an embarrassing performance in Kansas City. So kind of two teams in a very similar spot, kind of want to bounce back and get their 2024 season started off right. Sterling, we were talking earlier about how in the Packers and Eagles matchup, sometimes there's teams that people put too much value on the last couple of weeks of the season, the last couple of times that we saw them. I think the Dolphins kind of fall into that category. I think a lot of people, when they think of the Dolphins, they think about them losing the AFC East to the Bills in week 18. They think about that bad playoff game in Kansas City, and now they're kind of writing them off this season. I'm not doing that. I'm extremely high on the Dolphins. I think they can have a very good year, and I think it starts in week one.
The Dolphins are a team that if they don't have home field advantage come playoff time, they're screwed. They're a team that when the weather turns cold, I think they struggle. Weather ain't going to be cold week one. I like the Dolphins week one. I really do. The Jags, I think, are a fine team, but I don't think they're a great team. They lost Calvin Ridley, right? Christian Kirk is back. That is good. I believe they got Brian Thomas Jr., right, in the draft. I like what he could potentially do. I think Etienne is a nice piece as well. Trevor Lawrence is a good, not great, not elite, but a good quarterback. I just like the Dolphins in this one. I really do.
Yeah, the spread's tricky with it being a little a touch over a field goal there.
The hook, if you will.
Yeah, the hook. It can kill you. Moving on to AFC South matchup here, rematch of a Week 18 showdown between the Texans and the Colts. We've kind of talked about these two teams, Sterling. I think we both think the Texans are deserving of being the team to beat in the AFC South, but some people might be discounting the Colts, considering they were a caught pass on fourth down, wide open drop pass on fourth down away from beating the Texans and eventually winning the AFC South. Now the two teams meet in Week 1. Anthony Richardson is back and healthy. Can the Texans live up to kind of their hype this season? I know in terms of betting splits, I think the Texans are one of the most bet on teams in Week 1 to win in cover as 2.5 point favorites in Indianapolis. Another interesting one. I do obviously don't love that the Packers and Eagles are in Brazil, but I think this Week 1, and this is another example of it, fascinating matchups. Matchups with storylines, they're going to tell us something heading into the season, and this is one of them.
Could not agree more. I like the Texans. I loved them last year. You know, I feel like I was the only guy who was on the Texans. I started the bandwagon of the Texans last year, and people called me insane. Who's insane now, y'all? Probably still me, but at least I got one thing right. The Colts are kind of in that average territory yet again. Maybe a 9-8 team, maybe 10-7. I like Anthony Richardson for the upside, and he looked decent in his time before he got injured. But there's been a lot of talk coming out of joint practices, preseason OTAs, training camp of, this isn't looking good. This is, I don't know about Anthony Richardson. Is that a ploy? Is that him holding back, the offense holding back? Or is he actually just not taking a step forward, and that injury is he didn't sit back and learn the playbook as much as maybe he would have liked or the team would have liked? We'll find out, and you'll find out early Week 1 against the Texans, who I think is a damn good team. I like the Texans in this one. I like them to cover, but I'm almost more intrigued if you're a Colts fan to see what does Anthony Richardson look like. He's got weapons. Offensive line is solid. Defense is okay. I'd say, you know what, defense is solid, actually. Maybe I'm underplaying that. But it comes down to Anthony Richardson. Is he going to be a guy that's a needle mover in the positive direction, or a needle mover in the negative direction? Because there's no chance Anthony Richardson's average. He's either going to be really good or really bad.
Yeah, I remember heading into last season, we were not high on Anthony Richardson. And I actually think his performances in the four games he was in last season for the Colts were actually not as good as kind of the public perception has been. The public perception was that he was very good in those games. But if we actually look at his numbers, you know, eye test and kind of the metrics are kind of two different things. But actually not great. Completed less than 60% of his passes. So a 59.9 completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He ran the ball a few times. I know he got a few rushing touchdowns, but like a QBR of 45. So like not bad in his 4 appearances. But kind of the public perception was that he was fantastic in the 4 games that he played. And I don't necessarily think that's true. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here.
Yeah, I wouldn't say fantastic. I would say positively intrigued, but positively surprised early on by him, because sure, I thought it was going to be a legit massive struggle, because he was, in my opinion, a project.
Yeah. All right, let's move over. This is an interconference game involving an AFC South team. It is the Tennessee Titans going to Chicago to take on the Bears. Another intriguing game because it is Caleb Williams, the number 1 overall pick, one of the most highly touted quarterback prospects in recent memory, making his NFL debut for the Chicago Bears. Not only, you know, a highly touted prospect, but in at least my memory, I've never seen a number 1 overall pick quarterback go into a better situation than Caleb Williams is going into, with the amount of talent and skill that is on this Bears offense. And also they have a pretty solid defense as well. So now the question is, Week 1, in his first NFL regular season start, can he immediately live up to those expectations? I remember Cam Newton, his first ever NFL regular season game was unbelievable. So it is possible for a rookie quarterback, a number one overall pick, to have that good of a debut game. Can he do it? That's a different question.
I don't know what he's going to look like against a Titans team that I don't think is good, but they have some good pieces defensively. Like, what is Legarius Sneed going to do? What is some of those secondary members going to do for the Titans against a rookie quarterback? I like the Bears in this one, but I like the under more. This is the best situation that Caleb Williams could possibly go to. So many weapons. I mean, just a plethora of weapons. The offensive line has mostly been revamped. You know, Justin Fields is sitting here just going, why couldn't they have done this for me? I'm more of a Jaden Daniels than Caleb Williams guy myself. But I think the Bears get it done. They'll beat the Titans, but I don't know if they cover the spread in a game that I think is going to be more lower scoring than I think the majority of people think.
I do really quickly just want to shout out Trevor Rogan in the chat here. My friends who are Gators fans have been perplexed by the hype around Ant Richardson. Yeah, I think that was kind of our opinion about Anthony Richardson heading into last season as well. It's not, we weren't high on him at Florida. But yeah, about Caleb Williams and the Bears, my thing with not only Caleb Williams, but with the Bears as a whole, is if they're going to be able to start out of the gate hot, because there are a lot of new pieces on this Bears offense. It is not just Caleb Williams, who was in college last year. You have Rome Odunze, who was in college last year. You have DeAndre Swift, who was in Philadelphia. You have Keenan Allen, who was in Los Angeles. You have an offensive coordinator who's new to this team as well. So you got new scheme, new pieces, got two of the two starters that didn't even play in the NFL last season. It is hard as an offense, because offense is all about timing. It's about chemistry. It's about being able to gel with each other. It's about understanding the scheme. It's then understanding the scheme and then utilizing that against the defense that you're seeing in front of you. There are a lot of moving parts in an offense, and it's, in my opinion, extremely difficult to have that many new pieces in a new system to get off to a hot start right away. So are the Bears, by the end of the year, going to like live up to expectations and be as good as a lot of people think they can be? Sure. I wouldn't bet on them the first couple weeks of the season until that's proven to me, though.
Yeah, that's, again, why I like the under.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the Vikings and Giants, one of the least intriguing games of the opening week. Rematch of a playoff game from 2 years ago. J.J. McCarthy obviously out, so he will not be playing in his rookie season. Sam Darnold will be taking over. I guess kind of the storyline of this game, if I were to make a storyline for Vikings and Giants, it's two quarterbacks who people have counted out, who do not think belong as an NFL starter, will now have a chance to prove that they do belong being an NFL starter. Sam Darnold, which actually, funny enough, I think more people believe in Sam Darnold than they do Daniel Jones at this point, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't think they should. I'm not a Daniel Jones guy by any means, but not on the Danny Dimes bandwagon. But last time he was a starter for a full season, they won a playoff game. There's at least something to that. He's got Malik Neighbors. I don't think the Giants are good by any means. But at the same time, I think they're almost being counted as one of the worst teams in the NFL, when I think they're probably about a 7 or 8 win team. Like, I think they're a little better than the majority of the national media is giving them credit for. I like him in this game. I like the under still. I think the Vikings, I like some of the pieces, but man, no quarterback. I'm not a Sam Darnold guy. The people that said that Sam Darnold could just fill in for Brock Purdy, I think those people are wrong. I think these are two boring teams this year.
Speaking of the Vikings, tomorrow's show will be a couple of interviews. One of them will be my interview with Justin Jefferson. So I'll talk about that more at the end of the show. But he had some thoughts about the Vikings season and Sam Darnold as well. Spoiler, apparently he says they always looked at Sam Darnold as a starter heading into preseason, which I think is contrary to kind of what the reports were by the media. Now, is he just saying that because it's going to be Sam Darnold, or was it never even a quarterback battle to begin with? I don't really know. But check out that interview to hear Justin Jefferson talk about that. Moving on to the game that I care about the most. It is the Steelers. It is the Falcons. 3.5-point favorites the Falcons are. I got a couple betting trends for you really quick. One of them is actually not even a betting trend. It's just the history of the Steelers and the Falcons, which does not make me feel good about the Falcons' chances, if I can find it here. The Steelers are, and I'm still going to look for it, but I think it's 15-2-1 all time against the Falcons in the history of these two teams. The Falcons have beat them twice, once in 1970 and once in 2006. Not good. Falcons also 0-8 against the spread, their last eight games against AFC North opponents. And the Steelers are, I think, 11-0-1 against the spread in their last like 12 games against NFC South. I'm going to bring up the exact numbers, but if you're a trends person and you think kind of history dictates the future, not looking good for my Falcons.
But this is a new year. This is the Falcons year. This is a year when all those trends don't matter. Welcome to Ian's mind. No, I think the Falcons win this game. I think the Falcons are a good team. I think the Steelers, again, they're kind of falling into that bucket category of average teams. I like Mike Tomlin, obviously a hell of a coach. Defense is always going to be solid. I just don't believe in Russell Wilson. I don't believe that their offense is going to take this step forward because now Arthur Smith is there and they're going to run the football and get back to what makes Steelers offense and football solid. They lost Deontay Johnson too. That's, I think, a bigger loss than people are actually giving credit for. I like the Falcons this year, even though it is week one and, first real game with Kirk Cousins. I'm still going to rip the Falcons in this one. I like them.
Just to clarify the numbers, Steelers are 9-0 against the spread in their last nine games against NFC South opponents. Falcons are 1-11 against the spread in their last 12 games versus AFC North. So,
Falcons can still win, though, and lose the spread. They can still win by three.
True. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Are the Falcons overrated or underrated, Sterling, or are they properly rated? Because every person I'm seeing... generally in sports media, but I think specifically in the sports betting corner of sports media, everyone is calling what I'm seeing the Falcons overrated. But if everyone's calling the Falcons overrated, does that then mean that they're underrated? Because if everyone's saying they're overrated, then they're not overrated by definition.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of
that. The amount of people I've seen in the betting world trash the Falcons the past 2 weeks is it's infuriating me.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of that. And it could just be algorithms because I'm not a Falcons guy. Just unbiasedly, I think the Falcons have the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Right.
I think they play in an atrocious NFC South.
Fact.
I think they win at least 10 games, probably 11. I don't get it, really. I don't understand this. They have a good defense. You know my thoughts on the Falcons. Like, I think they're a really good team. Yeah. I don't think they're a great team. I think that they have a lot of really good players. I don't know how many elite players they have, right? Like how many players they have that's top five at their position. They don't have a receiver. They don't have a tight end. They have Chris Lindstrom. They don't have a quarterback. They probably have a running back in Bijan Robinson, but is it too early to say he's a top five running back in the NFL?
Wait, we're going back to the same argument you had that made Falcons fans come at you a couple
which
shows
it makes
ago.
No sense because I'm saying they're a really good team, just they're not an elite team.
But
which I don't know how
that's a hot
take.
I could name several players that are top five of the position. You're telling me Bijan Robinson's not a top five running back right now?
Chris Lindstrom is for sure.
Yep.
I'll probably say Jesse Bates.
Jesse Bates, 100%.
I won't say Justin Simmons, but I will say Jesse Bates. I don't think I'd say AJ Terrell is a top five cornerback. I don't think Matthew Judon's a top five edge rusher, but they're all really good players. Again, I'm not trying to say I don't want to get this argument yet again with you. I think they're an underrated team and somehow I'm becoming the bad guy.
Well, yeah, but you say you like the Falcons. You say you're pounding their win total over. You like them against the Steelers. But they actually don't really have any really good players and they're not that good.
I didn't say they're not really good. I said they're not elite. There's a difference. Like,
how many teams have... Okay, so the Falcons, in terms of players that are top five for the position, I would make the argument Bijan Robinson's a top five running back, Chris Lindstrom's a top five guard, Jesse Bates definitely a top five safety, and then you could make the argument Jake Matthews is a top five tackle. So let's say three or four. How many teams out there have more than that in terms of top five players at each player's respective position?
I don't know if I'd go Jake Matthews...
Let's even just stick to the three.
Three.
Which I think would be hard to argue against. Teams have more than three players who are top five at their respective positions?
San Fran has at least that. I would say the Eagles probably have that. The Chiefs definitely have that.
Does San Fran have that? You got McCaffrey. You got Trent Williams.
Brandon Ayuk is
top five receiver?
I would say is probably elite. I don't know if he's top five receiver. You might have to move the list down just a little bit for George Kittle's top five tight end, right? Bosa's top five. Javarius Ward's a top 10 corner. Fred Warner's number one linebacker. I mean, that's a horrible argument there, Ian.
Okay, but we're also talking about the best team in the NFL.
Okay.
Bijan hasn't done anything. What do you mean Bijan hasn't done anything? Did you watch the Falcons last year? No, you didn't, because they didn't have any primetime games and nobody watches Falcons games because they
Doing this with you again. I don't want to be labeled as the hater when I'm on your side saying I'm ripping the over. I'm just not a homer.
All right. Do we like them against the Steelers?
Yes.
All right. All right.
Gosh, calm down.
Get fired up. It's all day, every day.
I'm on your side saying, and you're still yelling at me.
Yeah, but you say that you like the Falcons and then you follow it up with reasons why you don't like them, which doesn't make sense to me. Also, Kirk Cousins is winning MVP. But just wait till that thing about Kirk Cousins not being good in prime time has been disproven for 5 years, but people still bring it up. He's been good in prime time the past 5 years. Kirk Cousins MVP. Let's stay in the NFC South. We're going to go to the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. This is the game I care about the least. Does anybody care about the Panthers and Saints? I guess it's interesting if Bryce Young can take a step forward.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Bryce Young needs to take a step forward. I've interviewed him, talked with him. Nice guy. I never thought that I always said CJ Stroud, by the way, and I'm on record saying that. But if you're a Panthers fan, I at least want them to be somewhat relevant. No one wants to see a team that just wins two games or they're just brutal and they're stuck in this hole and they can't get out of it. For Panthers fans, for their sanity, they need to see a step forward. Xavier Leggett, Jonathan Mingo, can they help him out? Adam Thielen. Obviously, Jonathan Brooks is going to miss at least the first four games of the season. You'll see what you have in him. Yeah, man. Like, I feel for Panthers fans. It's them and the Patriots. But who has a brighter future? Them or the Patriots? That's kind of what it comes down to going forward. They're both going to be bad this year. But who can you see a light? I like the Saints in this one. Saints, again, they fall in that bucket category of average team at best.
Saints, yeah, same as last year. They look good on paper. Can they live up to it? I don't know. I still don't know. Derek Carr is, 8 years into his career? I still don't really understand if he's good or not. Or is it just the fact that Derek Carr is average, but average isn't good enough in the NFL? Is that the issue?
That's what it is, I think. Yeah. This is year 11.
Oh, my God.
Right? 9 years in Oakland. One
was he in Oakland for
New Orleans?
9 years? Oh,
my God. Well, I guess Las Vegas, too.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But ooh.
And he's had some good years.
Didn't he finish an MVP, like top three in MVP voting 1 year?
Yeah, in 2016. They went 12-3.
People forget. Yeah, Panthers, Saints. I have one thing that I care about this game, which I'll talk about later. Broncos, Seahawks. I have now come out recently as a Bo Nix guy. Which by, I guess, relation to that, that makes me kind of a Broncos guy this year. I think they're being undervalued heading into the season a little bit. Is that stupid of me, Sterling?
Yes.
Am I wrong about the Broncos?
Yeah.
Which I might.
I think they're
it's possible this is going to blow up in my face.
They're a 4, 5, 6 win team to me. I don't think the Seahawks are very good, though. So I think the Seahawks also are just an 8-win, 7 win. Like we're talking about some of these teams. I think there's a huge middle of the NFL, right?
Yep.
The Seahawks are in it, but I think the Broncos aren't. I think the Broncos are in the, not quite the Patriots Panthers territory, but they're in that 4, 5, 6 win territory. Not necessarily anything to have to do with Bo Nix. There's not a lot of talent, man. Patrick Sertan's great, but you got to have more than one really good corner to, that's a luxury. Like, what are you doing putting a spoiler on a 1994 Toyota RAV4? Like, that ain't going to do anything. I don't know if I touched the 6 points, but I like the Seahawks in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue the Seahawks are the better team. 6-point difference between these two teams where I might have a bit of an issue. So that's going to be interesting. And Broncos were the best team in the preseason. I think we can all say that. So it's going to be interesting to see if that translates whatsoever to the regular season. We're running out a little bit short on time here, Sterling. So we're going to rip through these last few games. I think we're just going to leave the Monday night football game, Jets and 49ers. We'll leave that for Monday. I think it makes the most sense.
Perfect.
So we got four more games to get through. AFC West, Raiders and Chargers. The Jim Harbaugh era starts in Los Angeles. Raiders hired Antonio Pierce full-time. What are your general thoughts about this one?
I think the Raiders are being undervalued. I hate saying it, obviously, the Chiefs guy, but I think the Raiders are going to be surprising some people this year. I think their defense is taking a massive step forward. The addition of Christian Wilkins is huge. They still have Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers. Now they have Brock Bowers along with Mike Mayer. Zamir White, I don't know how he's going to be, but he was fairly effective last year when he took over that duty. And Gardner Minshew is the quarterback. That, it to me, not great, obviously, but a bigger upgrade than Aiden O'Connell. I actually have the Raiders beating the Chargers in this one.
The Raiders are one of the most polarizing teams heading into the season, in my opinion, in terms of people's opinions about them. I've seen some people say that they could even be a wild card team, and I've heard other people say they're going to be the worst team in the NFL. So we'll see. I do not have a strong opinion about that game at all. Cowboys-Browns. My storyline for this game is one that I've talked about on the show in the past, is that I have my tinfoil hat on about the Cleveland Browns, and they're at home. So if they're at home, and last week or last season, kind of what happened last season carries into this season, the Cowboys might get shut up because their defense between home and away last year was night and day.
Yeah. I don't touch this game because of the home road splits of the Browns defense. That was last year. Will it carry over? We'll probably start betting by week 8 what I see from them, week 4 what I see by them, whether it's a trash can situation or not. But the Cowboys, I think, are a much better team than the Browns. But again, no idea with the home defense.
Yeah, the Cowboys are basically the exact same team as last year. They lost Leighton Vander Esch to retirement and added Eric Kendricks. And then other than that, they're basically the exact same team. So they're probably going to have a really good regular season. The story of the Cowboys season doesn't actually start till the playoffs.
Correct.
Like, we can just kind of forget about the Cowboys because they'll be 12-5, 11-6. Maybe they will or won't win the NFC East, but they'll be in the playoffs. And then that's when their story becomes. They are the NFL version of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the NHL, where the regular season doesn't matter because they'll make the playoffs, and then that's when their season starts.
Yeah.
Commanders, Buccaneers.
Ew.
Yeah. Do you have anything for that one?
Let's go Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is the story of that game. Correct.
Yeah.
Can Baker Mayfield play as well as he did late in the year last year for Tampa Bay?
I think he can. Willie's a different story. I like the Buccaneers in this game because I think the Commanders just... They're in the Broncos territory. They're not quite bottom, but they're in that 5-ish win territory.
Yeah. I have nothing else to add about that game. Sunday Night Football, an interesting one, rematch of a wild card matchup from last year. It is the exact same matchup and the exact same spread too. Lions favored us 3.5-point favorites in the playoffs last year. They did win the game, but did not cover the 3.5-point spread. Matt Stafford going back to Detroit once again, his former team. Good one for Sunday Night Football. Fun one.
Yeah. Should be a great time. I like the Lions winning, probably not covering yet again. The Lions did get better in the secondary, which was their weakness.
Yes.
Lions did improve. So I will give a little bit of a tip of a cap to them. Are they ready to show that they are in that category with the Eagles and the 49ers in the NFC? Rams should take a step forward with a healthy team, healthy Cooper, healthy Matt Stafford. We'll see. But again, I have some questions defensively for the Rams.
Lost Aaron Donald in the offseason, obviously, for the Rams did, but they also improved their secondary. So we'll kind of see how their defense shakes out from last year. Producer Sean says, Puka knee injury. Does Puka have a serious knee injury? Is he missing this game? Did I miss that? I think he's questionable, but I don't know. How serious is that knee injury?
Apparently, they
had a late round pick who they're hyping up is going to be the next Puka Nacua. So even if they miss Puka Nacua, this other guy might step in. Wilmington or something? Harrington? Wilmington? I think their sixth round pick. He's apparently
McMillan Ian? McMillan Ian? Is that who it is?
Yeah. All right. So that's it for our game previews. We'll save the Monday Night Football game, Jets 49ers, till our Monday show at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Let's rip through our picks here, Sterling. Your favorite spread bet for week 1? Oh, by the way, you beat me on these picks last year. So I might be a betting guy, but I actually think we still have our records. You went 30-28-1, and I went 22-31.
Yeah, I nailed you, dog. Yeah. I just crushed you. Yeah. I'm going to beat you yet again, and I will go Dolphins -3.5.
I will go Falcons -3. I got to stick with my team. Mike Tomlin's the X factor. Mike Tomlin does scare me. He leads Steelers to wins that they don't deserve to win. But the Falcons are going against Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson being paired.
Excuse me, I see the line at 3.5. So you're gonna.
It did move up. Okay,
you're gonna have to put that 3.5.
Okay, I'll go 3.5. Well, that's good. That's gonna come back to bite you in a moment. Your favorite upset pick?
Giants at home. I like the Giants. I'm shocked that they are not favored against the Vikings. So I'll take the Giants at home.
For the viewers and listeners at home, Sterling decided to take the smallest underdog on the board.
Didn't know that. Did not know that at the time. Had zero idea, so I apologize. I was good at the underdogs last year, though. That was my calling card.
I'm going to go Titans to upset the Bears. Like I said earlier, I think the Bears by midseason are going to be a good team. The amount of new pieces on offense scares me early the first 1, 2, 3 weeks into the season. Meanwhile, the Titans had, in my opinion, the best offseason in the NFL. Still not a contender, but especially their defense could be scary this season. So I will take the Titans to upset the Bears and Caleb Williams' NFL debut.
Nice.
Favorite totals pick?
Titans-Bears under.
Oh, okay. Well, you switched it on me.
Yeah, I switched it. Titans-Bears under. I love the under in this game for a multitude of reasons. I didn't mean to keep going back to this game, but I think that number is just too high. I think people are putting too much emphasis early on the offense of the Bears. Again, you and I've talked about it. It's going to be some growing pains, I think, early on.
Yeah, I like that pick. I'm going to go under Ravens-Chiefs. Now, I do get some help. Now, I betted at 46.5, but for the sake of the show, we're going to go with the most updated lines. And like 2 hours ago, this line moved from 46.5 to 47.5. So I'll go under 47.5 between the Ravens and the Chiefs, two best scoring defenses in the NFL last year, both in opponent points per game, opponent points per play. Ravens offense, remember last year, the Ravens offense got off to a slow start this season. They were winning games early in the season solely on their defense. I think that could be the case again this year. I think it's
was that last year or this year, though?
What do you mean?
This year's a different story, baby. Rip the over. Rip the over in this game.
Well, you should have made it your pick. It was your pick, and then you switched it. Why'd you switch? Didn't want to go head-to-head, eh?
Well, that was the most Canadian you ever sound. That was the most didn't want to go head-to-head, eh? What? Come on, Ian.
Yeah, it's a boring bet. And, you know, it's not going to be fun cheering for an under in the first NFL game of the season, but two best scoring defense in the NFL last year. It's a high total for that.
All right.
And then finally, we'll finish with Survivor. We each got to pick a team. Can't pick the same team twice. You just need the team to win to move on to next week. Sterling, you crushed me at this last year. I gave you golf stuff as your prize. I need to win this year. There is one team. I'm going to give my Survivor pick out first. There is one team I've picked in almost all my Survivor pools, and if this team loses, I'm going to be not happy. I'm going with the Saints to beat the Panthers as my Survivor pick. I don't think there's another game on the Saints schedule I'd want to take them. I'm going to save my good teams. They're playing against the team that I think is the worst team in the NFL, the Panthers, or second worst, least worst team in the NFC. The Saints are at home. I know it's divisional, but it's week one.
I wanted to take that, but you already took it, so I'm going Bengals. Bengals traditionally start off slow with Joe Burrow. That's fine. They're playing a really, really bad Patriots team. I'll take the Bengals, but I wanted to take the Saints, but you beat me to it.
Bengals are the obvious pick. They are by far the biggest favorite on the board this week. I think it was down to 7.5. I'm actually seeing back up to 8.5. So 8.5-point favorite. The next biggest favorite is the Bills at 6.5. So they're a two-point bigger of a favorite than any other team in the NFL this season. I'm not going to argue against a Bengals pick. I would not pick the Bengals. If you're in a big Survivor pool, I would not pick the Bengals because then you hope for the Patriots. And if the Patriots win, it's going to eliminate like half the pool. But for our one-on-one competition, I mean, take the biggest favorite. It's sure. I'm not going to
smart. I'm a smart man.
All right. That is our show. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be having a show and a podcast where we will be having interviews. You interviewed Derrick Henry?
Yes, Derrick Henry.
And I interviewed Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, baby.
The best, most prominent players in the NFL this season.
Let's do it, baby. Look at us.
Check that out. And then tomorrow night, football. Friday night, football. Sunday, football. And we'll be back 9:30 a.m. Eastern to recap Sunday's games. Tune in for that. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. If you do decide to bet this week, best of luck. Sterling, final thought.
Dude, I'm just so happy. It's Christmas Eve for me, baby.
The helmet doesn't fit. Let's go. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the action this weekend. We'll talk to you Monday, 9:30 a.m.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.